your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Peter. And brother, I appreciate you preaching my message. But I'll preach it anyway. And I'll preach it just a little bit different than what he went at it. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach at Home Baptist Church. This is one of my favorite places in all the world. And I'll tell you, I had a tremendous blessing last night. Former pastor come in, I got to hug him. He may not have known me, but I got to give him a big hug, and I said, brother, I sure love you. Appreciate all the love and kindness he's shown to me, and also your present pastor. Lord saw fit to let Brother Titus finish his ministry. And I don't hesitate to say this. He gave you a great pastor, and I believe that. I don't have a problem with saying men of God are great. They are. They do great works and build great churches if they believe the truth. And I think a lot of you have received your announcement. On the 12th of May, we'll become a church. And if I didn't send you an announcement, somebody told me that they didn't get one. If you didn't get one, see me after the service and I'll be sure to mail you one. I should have brought some. I didn't realize there was people that didn't get them. Like you said, I'm just human, not superhuman. I've got a brain, but it's not by any means a computer. It just don't take commands and spit out whatever I want it to do. So if you'll tell me that, I'll send you an announcement, motels and all that, and we would sure love to have you come. In the Word of God, 1 Peter chapter 2, or chapter 1 rather, 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll get it right here in a minute. I didn't like the one preacher said. He said, I get up nervous, and he said, I just wander around and I get ready to preach. So that's what I'll have to do. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 16 through 21. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. You know, you need to write in the margin of your Bible there, religion. Religion. That's what religion does. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Look at verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that we take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's the reason we have a sure word of prophecy. And we want to think about a thought here in verse 19. A more sure word of prophecy. We want to ponder this morning the question, how can the Word of God be more sure to us? How can it be more sure to we who are saved? Have a lot of pastors and preachers and missionaries. How can the Word of God be more sure to us as we travel through this life and sojourn in this strange land that we're living in? Well, we know the Word of God is sure, certain, unfailing. It's the Word of God. It changes not. It's the eternal Word. But our text uses that word more sure. I want to think about that this morning. How can it be more sure? How can it be more sure to us? How can it be more steadfast to us and more firm in our soul? We look around us and things are not good among Baptists today. I need to tell you, I don't know about where you are, but where I am, there's war going on among Baptists. We just faced a situation where, what was that word you used last night, brother, before Baptist? Tried to come in and change everything that we believed. And that came the day when I was invited to stand in the pulpit by the authority of one of our local churches in our fellowship. And the pastor asked me to address that. And while I was addressing, the fellow over there spoke out against me. He said, "Was a heretic." You know what I ended up telling him? He wouldn't shut up. I said, "You're a heretic, shut up." Another man over there said, "You better listen to him. I'm telling you the truth. Don't know what you're talking about." "Oh, but he's all right. He's just off a little bit. He don't understand the church. He's a heretic." Well, I'm telling you, there's places that we just don't let people come and don't go there. We got to stand for the truth. The whole truth. It's got to be sure and steadfast. Way down the recesses of our souls. God said, "I'm the Lord, I change not." And we need to set him for our example like the brother was talking about. And we better not change. Because go over to the last chapter of Revelation, that's dangerous. We have a sure word of prophecy. We received it from God. It's going to be fulfilled in all of its content. And listen, as far as God's word, I'm not saying it can be more sure, but we traveling through this world in this carnal flesh, it can become more sure to us. We become more assured in its infinite. That the infinite God possesses knowledge and unlimited fullness. It's infallible, exempt from all error, contradiction. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We're going through terrible times. I believe we're headed for the same times that they went through what we call the Dark Ages. And we need to be ready. And I pray that this message, along with Brother Shane's message, will encourage us to more assurance. To be more sure of the Word of God. It will become more sure to us than it's ever been. And we need to look to the Word of God. There's some ways that I want to touch upon in which the Word of God can be more sure to us. God's sure word of promise. First of all, by inward assurance. We have the Holy Spirit of God within us. We received the Holy Spirit upon us when the Lord saved us through regeneration, through the new birth. And we have the Holy Spirit in us to lead us and guide us and direct us and to build us up in the holy faith. And we need to give way to the Spirit of God. We need to sit down with the Word of God. I've got a message I thought about preaching a year. About meditation. Folks, we need time alone every day to sit down and read the Word of God and to study the Word of God and to be assured of the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit of God speak to our hearts. God needs to speak to us. He needs to assure us. And God not only speaks to us through the book, but when we're in this book, the Holy Spirit of God is our teacher, our guide. He said, "I'll guide you into all truth." God's not going to guide us into error, never. When I told a man one time, he said, "God told him to do that. God led him to do that." I said, "Mister, you better go back and read the book. God don't lead you in a lie. God don't lead you into untruth. God will lead you into all truth. Everything in God's word is sure to be trusted." There's an old hymn. Well, I love that hymn. "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. How salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Oh, how we need that assurance. Why? Our faith can become weak. I know that. I've experienced that. I'm sure that you have. We can become fearful in our daily walk of life. It amazes me to see how fearful we've become. You ever notice you're talking to Baptist preachers? Well, I don't do that. Well, they used to. Well, I don't do this. They used to. I'm talking about good stuff. I'm not talking about things they should repent of. I'm talking about wonderful things. I said to a preacher one day, I said, do you ever think of this? I've stood here and talked to you a few minutes, and I said this in love, of course. I said, I've learned more about what you don't do than what you do do. Now, what do you do do? You know what I'm saying? I preached a message on radio one day, one Sunday, and talked about all this, what they call, you know how Baptists use pretty words, alternate lifestyle. Yeah. Homosexual. They're pretty, ain't it? They're sinful, vile, ungodly, unsaved people. I preached a message. And that week I got some comments like this. Aren't you afraid? I heard you Sunday. Were you not afraid? God said it. I preached it. Not God said it and I believe it, that does it. God said it and that does it. I'm not afraid. And you know what? I kept on my radio ministry, you know why? Freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. We still have freedom of speech. And we get out and preach what the Word of God says, unafraid, unashamed. We become fearful. Then we become doubtful. And then we distrust the Word of God. You know what's happening with this thing that's going around across our land now among Baptists, this thing of self-constituting a church and all this universal churchism and amillennialism. You know what's happening? Preachers just like us get on the internet. I don't have nothing wrong with the internet. I've got it. I use it in a good way. You get in that chat room and there's 25 of those guys bombarding you with these questions. And guess what's happened? You're not sure anymore. And let me tell you something. If you don't think I'm telling you the truth, you get on there and you start looking. You know what you're going to find out? They don't quote scriptures. Well, that was a 16th century Baptist preacher. You disagree with him? If he's a heretic, I do. That's what I told that boy. He said on the pew there that day, and he said, in the 14th and the 16th century, he said, here's some Baptist preachers. I said, wait a minute. There's been heretics ever since Adam. There'll be heretics till God comes back. There's never going to be a time when there's not heretics. We begin to doubt. And they got the computer, and they sit there, all they do is type. One of them sent me a packet costing about $5 to mail it. You know what I did? I took it, throwed it back in the post office. I said, return to sender. Don't take what they send you. You know them. Don't take it. Send it back to them. They'll put doubt and fear in your mind, and you'll distrust the blood of God, the Word of God. We need assurance. We need assurance from the Word of God. We see this in the scriptures. We see this illustrated by that father he talked about. That demon-possessed boy. His father was so concerned about him. He'd been like that from birth. Possessed of that demon. Helpless and helpless. And you know what happened? If you look at that scripture, that man brought that boy to the Lord. And he says, do you believe I can do this? And you know what that man began to do? He began to weep. You go back and read the scriptures there, Mark 9. He began to weep and cry out to God. Folks, we need to get before God and weep and cry out. Get emotional. Nothing wrong with being emotional. Learn to weep and cry out to God. Lord, help my unbelief. That's what he did.
young preacher boy. Some of you may know him, Mark Campbell. Now, pastor for George Galloway started church in McGoffin County, Kentucky. Had a little baby born. Tom and I went over to birth. The baby looked just as healthy as could be. And that was about 9 o'clock in the morning. We stayed with him an hour or so and went home. Next morning, about daylight, my phone rang. And I could hardly understand what that man was saying to me. He had wept so much. He said, Pastor, can you come? You and Tom, can you come right now? And I went. And his baby was having seizure after seizure after seizure. And I went, and here his wife laid. She wept till her eyes were almost closed. You know what he was looking at? He had his Bible open. Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, help my unbelief. That's all he could tell me. Lord, I don't know if I have enough faith to believe you can help my little boy. But help him, Lord. Wept, and we sat down and wept and prayed with him. Wept and cried with him. Let me tell you the end of that story. Now that little boy's what, 8 years old? Boy's got a trouble problem now. No more seizures, but you know what his problem is now? He's got the worst case of meanness that you ever saw in your life. He can climb a tree backwards. Lord, help my unbelief. I believe he can do it, Lord, but help me in it. Amen. Folks, that's what we need. We need to get to God. Cry out to God. And know that God is able to deliver. The apostles even. They walked with the Lord. And talked with the Lord. Every day they saw him do miracles. One day they were out ministering and things weren't going the way they thought they should. And you know what they said to the Lord? Increase our faith. Let me ask, is there anybody here that couldn't use more faith? Is there any among us, any preacher, missionary? Is there any deacon or church member that could not use more faith in your life? You know what? Lord said, whatsoever things you ask in faith, believing, you'll receive it. Lord, increase our faith. I say the word needs to be more established in our hearts. That we believe more in this word. That we would look upon the word of God as a sure ground and foundation upon which we rest every moment of every day. We need that assurance. Not only by assurance, but what about the performance of it? What I'm talking about, when the promises are made good to us. Every time that we claim a promise and it comes to pass according to the Word of God, you know what that is? It's a testimony to us of the truth of it. God testifies to the truth of his word, to providence. You know, for years and years I studied. I'd ask this preacher, I asked that preacher, go over in Ezekiel, those wheels and wheels and wheels and wheels and those things coming in the universe and they were flying saucers and everything else. One day I got thinking about that. I was preaching the message from Romans 8:28. You know what God said to me? That's it. The wheels of providence are grinding on. Whether you expect it or not, whether you're asleep or awake or whatever, the wheels of divine providence are grinding on. Every day of God's life. Never stops. Never ceases. It goes on. And God performs the promise. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. It's a testimony of the truth of it. Share it. Share it with someone. Do you believe that God can work miracles? I have a dear pastor friend. He called me one day when I was at Southern Baptist Church about 10 or 12 years ago. He was in tears. He said, would you consider coming and pastoring Rollinsburg Baptist Church, Brother Ridley? And I said, no, won't do that. I could tell something was bothering him, terribly. And I said, what's the matter? He said, I just come from the doctor. I've got a tumor in my liver. He said to get my house in order in 10 days and come back. He'll tell me what he can do for the cancer to make me comfortable. I said, Brother Steininger, I won't take your church. I won't even come. Lord's not in that. I said, but I'll tell you what we'll do. I said, you pray. You tell everybody to pray. I'll tell everybody to pray. 10 days was up. He went back to that doctor, and the doctor run a test, said, come back in a few more days. He run another test. He said, come back in a few more days. And Dana says, what in the world is going on? He said, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. The tumor's not there anymore. He couldn't believe that. And Dana says, sit down over here and let me explain something to you. He said, what'd you do? He said, prayed. God moved that tumor out of there. I know that happened. I know the man. He's still living. After 9 years, cancer free. Well, not everybody's healed of cancer. And don't go home and say Brother Grigsby thinks he's a divine healer. I think God healed him. I think God removed that tumor as a testimony of his truth. It's a seal to confirm and to strengthen our faith. Our experiences strengthen us, encourage us. You look back in your life, and look with me this morning, when you rested in the promise, and the providence of God brought that promise to pass. Experience strengthens our faith, and it rests in other promises. I went to a church a year or so ago down in Florida. They had a building, and I'm not talking about an Armenian church. You know, back in years past, there used to be churches that had lots of people. And the Bible says, can God save by few or many? We think he can save by few now. He can't save by many. But that church used to have 600 or 700 people. I went there on Wednesday night and preached about 25, maybe 50 people in there. That big old building and what? They lost their faith. The pastor died. And they just let it dribble away. I see churches doing that. Folks, we're to minister. What are we doing ministering? What are we reaching out? We're to reach out to people. People don't come to church. We go to the people. We need to find ways to minister, ways to reach out to people. Churches are losing their vision because of this lack of faith. Look back at the wonderful experiences. And if you can't look at your own experiences, look at others. Look at this building. Where did I see that at? How many do you have? 93 here a week or so ago? I look back and hear all those wonderful stories. Listen, I'm not going to canonize a former pastor. I love him. But look at what God did with him here. If I understand this, work was just a little work when he took it. Look where Brother Asbury pastors. An old man went down to Paducah, Kentucky. An old man. He wasn't too old to do anything because God was in heaven. What did he do? He starts a mission work, became a church, built that building. Now he's with the Lord. I don't canonize Brother Clark, but can't we look back on his experience? Can't that encourage us in God, Brother Harvey, and oh, we could just go on and spend the day relishing how those wonderful men of God, by faith, did great things for God. Amen. Folks, we need to pick up the mantle and keep on going. Amen. Keep going forward. Amen. Look at those experiences. Look back in your past. Remember the disciples. He asked them about a miracle. He said, can I do this? And they were doubtful, just like Brother Shane was saying. You know what he says? Don't you remember the miracle of the 3,000 and 5,000 that we fed? Don't you remember that? Have you forgotten how that we went out there and those people were faint and hungry? And on one occasion, I fed 3,000. On another occasion, I fed 5,000. I tell you, I think Baptist women have learned that bad enough. They never run out of food, do they? Look at all these people here today. They'll probably have more left over when they feed us than what they give us when we go through the line.
They remember that God blesses. Remember that. This covers our past, our present, and future. 2 Corinthians 1:10 says this, who hath delivered us? Then we go back in our past experiences and see how he blessed us and kept us and delivered us. And he doth deliver us. And then we trust that he will yet deliver us. Not gonna leave us. Then that's followed by expectation. You have this accomplishment of a promise. And then there's an expectation that he'll keep other promises. When you look at expectation, look back at how the Lord blessed 1980. Phil and I went to a community broke. We're always broke. Sent them a South Urban Baptist Church, Brother Homer Crane. Some of you may remember him, to do mission work. We stayed there. The church was organized. We saved money to build a building. We bought property to build a building. The Lord called us away. They built the building. And they got a wonderful church now, strong Bible preaching church, Faith Baptist Church. Lord called us to Salem Baptist Church. Some of you have been there. We had close to 100 members. Had a parsonage to live in. Everything we needed to minister. But you know what? God said go to Hyco, West Virginia. And go there and you won't have any support. $800 a month is all we had. We were to move into a one-room apartment in the back of the church where Troy McGahan used to live. Me and my wife used the kitchen and fellowship hall to cook our meals. Amen. And you know what I said to Thelma? I said, look, let's not fear. It worked once, it'll work again. So we rented a truck, load up our belongings, and moved them in the fellowship hall. We couldn't get them in that one-room apartment. We've been there 6 years. Boy, ain't that awful. It's great. We're going to establish a church. Lord used it. And we get up there, and 6 members died in about 3 years. 2 families left. We didn't have anybody left. It's time to get back to Kentucky. Call Southern Baptist Church, see if they need a pastor. No. I didn't go looking. That's where God place me. We live in a nice little house, have a nice building, and we have the most wonderful people you could ever imagine. I believe those people would die for the Lord and for that work. They just tickle to death. Everything that I say, let's do, we're ready. And they've done. And they'll do again. And come and meet them sometimes. Invitation is open. Anytime you want to come to the mountains, just call me, make sure I'm home, and come and see us. And meet our people and enjoy beautiful mountains. Amen. And the Lord blesses that. But I'm going to say this. Don't talk to Brother Homer Bailey. I mean, Brother Winfrey Bailey over here. He's from West Virginia. He'll tell you the bad stuff. He talks about the moonshiners and stuff. I don't know where he grew up in West Virginia. See, he's pointing his finger. I'm kidding. But see, what I'm saying, look back at what happened at Faith Baptist. Lord blessed us there. He's blessed us here. And somebody said, what are you going to do now when you're organized? I said, I'm going to get down on my knees and say, Lord, I'm old, I'm tired, keep me right here. So I can start some other mission works. Amen. We've got another mission work going up in Buchanan, West Virginia. We'll help with that. There's other towns that need churches where we can go and start other churches. Amen. And Lord bless us that. Experience, expectation. Brother Hancock used an illustration last night with David and Goliath. David goes down to Saul and says, what about this uncircumcised Philistine, this giant? He's out there defying the armies of the living God. You know, we have a lot of spiritually uncircumcised heathen that's defying the living God, judges and governors and
presidents and vice presidents and congressmen and senators. And by the way, I'm deep in politics. I found out something. Anybody know the difference? You know, low down, no good, thieving, stealing, lying Democrat and Republican. Any difference? They're all the same. Well, there is one difference. It's the way they suck your tax money out of you. One gets it one way, one gets it another, but they get it anyway. But we need good politicians. I'm not opposed to politics. I'm just telling you that. We need to be like David. Face the giants. I'm fearful, unafraid. Why? We serve the living God. You know what David said? Experience. He said, Saul, you know, this bear came down. He was going to rob the flock of my father. He said, Lord, let me kill him. He said, this lion came. He said, Lord, let me kill him. And he said, I'll take care of this uncircumcised Philistine. And just like Brother Hancock said, I never thought of that, but he said he was so big, how could he miss? But see what I'm saying? Look at past experiences when the giants fail. Then there's encouragement when the promises are performed. Sometimes in providence, we pray for a thing and it doesn't happen just the way we want it to. Just like I was telling you, when we went to the mission work, we thought in a couple of years, you know, we'd have about 50 members and all of them tithing. And you know what I'm saying? At that the vision of every missionary. But they start dying. Then two families left. But you know what? God was blessing us. The people we had were growing and receiving the instructions and loving the Lord. And we had one man, Brother Jerry Asbury loves that man, Brother Norman. Brother Norman was like a little pet puppy. He'd been abused by preachers and put down and screamed at and hollered at. And he'd come into church and he'd say, Pastor, can I say this? He don't know a note of music, can't lead the singing, but he's led it ever since we've been there. Amen. And he'd get up and start to sing a song. He'd say, Pastor, it's not right if I sing this song. But you know, now he gets up and I can't get him singing for preaching. He loves the Lord. He needs encouragement. And so those things begin to happen. Our piano player hadn't been in church for 20 years. And we met her through her dying mother. And I preached the mother's funeral, and she came, and she's never left. She renewed her fellowship with God. And I could call her right now and say, woman, she's got a business running her husband. You go up to church right now, this needs to be done. She'd tell her husband, I got to go. I got to leave my job. I got to go. Pastor's calling. People like that. People that love the Lord. You say, boy, you brag on your people. I love my people. Encouragement. God's performed his word. Sometimes in the part and sometimes in the whole, but it sure to come to pass. Why? Providence is at work all the time. One time we were so discouraged we didn't know if we'd live through the day, Thumb and I. We moved to a work, we was about ready to starve to death, we thought. And we passed by a church on the little sign outside. My wife began to cry, and she couldn't say anything. She pointed that sign. It says, where the Lord guides, he provides. We perked up and went home, and that day I got a job. That same day, I got a job. Support my family. Never let us down one time. Fulfillment. Why? All the promises God in him are yea and amen. The promises which God has made to his people has results. Amen. You know what the wonderful results are? Worship. Worship. Adoration. Because of his faithfulness to respond to our faith, these elevate our views of the fidelity and goodness, and our faith is increased. So the Holy Spirit of God, the promises of God, God himself works. And we look at those promises working by Romans 8:28, providence, and it comes to pass. And every time it happens, Let's pass it on.
Listen, we have myriads of promises. Somebody tried to tell me one time how many promises are in the Word of God. Thousands of them. And God's in heaven. Holy Spirit's up on this earth performing them daily. Right now, He's delivering. He's comforting. He's protecting. He's speaking peace to our souls. I look back and I see a dear friend, Brother Bob Hugan. You know what happened to his family? A month and a half ago, every day I'd get an email. My wife would sit and weep with him and his wife. And I'm sure a lot of you did. Did not Katie go back to school? Then she go back to school, Bob. Yeah. See that? Folks, that just happened. That's real. As far as I understand from the emails and all, she's fine and dandy. Let's believe. He's delivering, comforting, protecting, speaking peace to the souls of his children. But you know something? The greatest blessings are ahead of us. The greatest blessings are yet to come. When we organize the mission, I've not asked anybody. It's not my business. That's God's business. We had $800 when we went there. By faith, we want to organize. Some people, they go by name. They don't go by need. And we might lose half of our support. But you know what? If we do, what will happen? Me and my wife knows this, and I'm sure you other preachers know this. When the end is done, if we'll keep on by faith, when all is said and done, we'll have more support than we started with. Yeah. Because you give what God wants you to give of yourself and your time and your talent and your money, and God takes care of it. Amen. Really.